Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And more. Go to HavilandSportsFlash.com.
I'm Caleb Johnson. G-Day 2019 between the hedges ended up being a wet one for the 52,000 in attendance. Sophomore Eric Stokes Jr. took an interception to the house on just the second pass from Jake Fromm for an early black team lead. Fromm gave credit to Stokes and broke down the play after the game.
They were playing man coverage and they had a rat inside and thought about going to the outside slant. And I looked out there and then JJ slipped on the first break. And he got back up quick. So I'm like, okay, all right, you know, I'll still kind of put a 50-50 ball there in there. And 50-50 ball, Eric did a great job of going in and getting it.
The red team of offensive starters get the win over the black team of defensive starters 22-17. Atlanta United looking to make it two in a row yesterday were met with a harsh reality of getting a host of chances but not finishing for goals. The Five Stripes lose 2-1 to FC Dallas in their first home loss since May of 2018.
We talked about, you know, wanting to win, wanting to put on a good performance in front of our fans, and not taking it for granted, their support and their attendance. They come here to see us play well and to see us win. So we want to win, especially when we're in front of them. So it's disappointing tonight.
That from Captain Michael Parkhurst. With updates every 20 minutes, I'm Caleb Johnson from the Kia Studios on your home of Saturday's Atlanta United match versus Colorado Rapids. Kickoff at 6, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9.
Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here we go.
He jams.
They score!
And it is good.
Our Atlanta Hawks, United, and Falcons play here because the game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The 2018 NFL Draft is now officially open. The Cleveland Browns are on the clock.
Welcome into the Kia Studios for our 92.9 The Game NFL Draft Preview Special. I'm Paul Crane. We are going to rock and roll over the next 2 hours, looking at the NFL Draft from a number of different perspectives. And I'm pleased to be joined by the publisher of the NFL Draft Report, who has been scouting players for the NFL and its teams for more than four decades, Dave T. Thomas. He's going to be with us on the WadeFord.com hotline for the entire 2 hours. And at this time of year, my man Dave T. is busier than Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. Dave T., how are you?
Hey, big guy. I'm glad Roger said they're on the clock, because what's going to happen on this draft, folks, this is going to be a beat-the-clock session. A lot of teams that are looking to trade, all they hear from the teams that they're looking to trade for, the same old sentence, let's wait to see what Arizona does. I don't even think Arizona knows what Arizona's going to do until that card is up on the podium.
Well, that's one of the many things we're about to talk about. We should let our listeners know that Dave T. does not tell us where he thinks players will be drafted unless he has inside knowledge from what teams are actually doing. What he does is tell us where he would draft players, where he might rate them if he were doing it, and what he shares with teams. And then 2 or 3 years down the road, we see where they stand. And all I can say is that Dave T. has a lot more hits than misses. And today, we're going to focus on the Falcons. We're going to focus on some players from Georgia and other top players by position. But Dave T., why don't we start with your top 10 players? And again, this is not your prediction of where they're going to be drafted, but 3 years down the road, the best players in the league. What about your top 10?
Kiper, McShay, all the other guys, they do a great job about bringing the information on a draft. However, I work for the teams. It's my duty to bring the team's information on the players. Let them play Sherlock Holmes as I play Dr. Watson. So when I talk about my top 10 over here, folks, it's more so of looking in my crystal ball. I always say give a player 3 years to develop. If not, in that fourth year, find a replacement. My number one guy, it's a no-brainer, Paul, Quinnen Williams from Alabama. I'm looking at this guy having the same impact out there as Aaron Donald has had for the Rams. Followed up behind, everybody, this will be a big surprise, but watch, the most technically sound linebacker I've seen since Derrick Brooks, and his name is Devin White. Follow up behind it, if the Atlanta Falcons are smart and wait 6 weeks into the season, Jeffrey Simmons could probably even rival Quinnen Williams and Devin White for the best player in this draft 3 years down the road.
Mississippi State, we should remind people, he has an injury to his Achilles, and he's going to be out for a while. But, all right, you've got...
Well, out for a while. When we get to the position, I'll give you guys a little hint of who everybody saw running a couple of weeks ago.
All right, continue on, sir.
Number four is Nick Bosa, probably the best edge rusher in a draft, but this all comes down to one thing. 3-4 teams will shy away from him. He's going to have to end up going to a 4-3 alignment. Fifth guy on the board is the best tight end I've seen since Mark Bavaro. That's T.J. Hockenson out of Iowa. This will be a draft where we see two tight ends go in the first round of the draft for the first time in history from the same school even.
Wow.
Josh Allen is out there battling away. He's my number six guy on the board. My number seven guy is the wild card. It's all coming down to where you want to play him, and that's Ed Oliver. I'm not convinced he's Aaron Donald, but I am convinced he is Teddy Bruschi. Number eight on the board, the only problem is I'm going to have to put some ankle chains on him to make sure he doesn't run back to baseball. That's Kyler Murray. You look at what he does on the field, you love him. You see what goes on off the field, you're a little worried. Number nine is a former Atlanta native who ended up moving out to California, who is the most technically sound offensive lineman in his draft, and that's Jonah Williams, who I'm saying will end up with the Buffalo Bills. Number 10, well, how could I do it? This is my Baker's 10 instead of
I was going to say, you've got to tie a 10. Go ahead.
It was hard for me to choose. One, I love Montez Sweat, but I am concerned, just like the other people, about the recent reports with the heart problem again.
Defensive.
So that he's pulled out of the pulled out of attending the draft. But Andre Dillard, any team wanting to protect the quarterback, this guy is a sheriff out there on the football field.
Offensive lineman from way up in the great Northwest. So those are your top 10, and these are top 10 that we should stick in a vault to come back in 3 years. And I'll say, to me, the only surprise on there was Kyler Murray.
Well, I'm just going to tell folks that the draft is going to open up with a band, actually, for the first time. Moon Taxi is going to come on and open up the draft. They should have opened it up with the Beatles' Magical Mystery Tour, because until Arizona gets up there with the card, nobody knows what's going to happen in this draft. What happens if that card doesn't have Kyler Murray's name on it? Then what do you got to do? You got to look at Mike Mayock trying to keep Chucky in play. I mean, right now, everybody knows Chucky is probably the biggest version of an upside down crazy world of a teenage girl. If he's allowed to run loose and Mayock's not allowed to hold him back, he'll trade the ranch over there to get Murray. Meanwhile, if they sit at four, if Murray is not taken by Arizona, he could just fall right in their lap without even doing anything.
Of the three decision makers, we've talked about this a lot on our Scouts on Our podcast. We should remind our listeners that we have Scouts on Our podcast breaking down every single position in detail. They're posted on the Draft Hub page at 929thegame.com, along with position analysis and player reports from Dave T in the NFL Draft Report. But the decision makers at Arizona, they're having a battle this week. It's gone as recently as the other day, 2-1 against taking Murray number one.
Ownership really likes Nicky Bosa. They like Murray, but not as much. The coach is enamored with him. The general manager, the player personnel director, madly in love with Quinnen Williams. So this is going to come down to a faction of who's going to win out over the other two. You know, folks, right now all we have out there are draft rumors. You know, it's probably apropos that they had a cherry tree incident before the draft ball, because if you talk to any general manager out there, he's not going to play George Washington to you. He is going to tell you a lie.
Well, you've talked about the love that John Gruden has at Oakland for Kyler Murray if somehow the Cardinals do not take him. And you mentioned Montez Sweat as one of your top 10 players tying for 10th, the defensive end from Mississippi State and the heart condition. He is going to be in Stone Mountain with family instead of at the draft in Nashville. What are some of those whispers you referenced regarding Montez Sweat?
Well, teams, here's what happens right now. I think it's called overanalyzation. If you love the guy in March, why all of a sudden we come up in April and you hate the dude? Everyone sits out there and tries to chop away at the tree. I say give it some Miracle-Grow and see what you're going to get out of it. The doctors are saying it's not really that much of a condition, but people are panicking. An enlarged heart will scare a few teams out there. You look at what he could do on a football field. Hey, folks, most guys usually only play 4 or 5 years anyway. I'm not saying it's going to play into my decision on Montez Sweat, but it might end up playing into the decision of several general managers. Hey, Paul, put yourself in this situation. If I'm Mayock right now, I'm sitting out there and watching these other general managers going, I got to get. They all got to get whatever they need. He's sitting there with 24-27. What happens if Sweat slides down that far? What happens if Simmons slides down that far? You know Mayock will pounce on those guys and say, you know what, let me play chess. Let me wait to make my next move.
We're going to get to some Atlanta Falcon news and rumors in a moment, but one other thing I want to touch on before we go to the Falcons is quarterbacks. We're going to get to the quarterbacks also as we run through team interest by position, but Miami in our final rumor before we go to the Falcons, moving up into the top five, you're hearing, and everyone knows the Dolphins want a quarterback, but...
But they much rather have a Cougar than have a quarterback. The thing is that they're looking at, this is a draft, Paul. You're not going to find another draft to come out with so many quality defensive linemen in the top 10 as you're seeing now. They figure that even if they end up going and getting a quarterback, it's going to be several years before they're back in playoff contention anyway. Build your defense, beat up the other guy's quarterback, and then you'll find a quarterback down the road. Folks, if you look at this year's quarterback crop, we'll get into it later on. This quarterback crop could rival the 2011 draft, and the last time I looked, only Cam Newton is surviving from that crop.
Quickly, let's talk about the Falcons. You referenced how they've liked Ed Oliver a lot. We've talked here about the possibility of moving up to number 8, that they at least had discussions with the Lions. How about the love for Ed Oliver and what may actually happen when we get to round 1 on Thursday night?
Here's my problem. They need help on the defensive and offensive line. If you go ahead and mortgage the ranch for Ed Oliver, I'm still not convinced this guy is going to play level 1. I'd like him as a level 2 guy. I think that you want this guy to be free. I'd say that if you need a defensive lineman, wait till round 2, wait till round 3, and go get out another Aaron Donald clone, who I say is Draymond Jones out of Ohio State. If not, when you're coming up to 15, you're more than likely to find Christian Wilkins there from Clemson. Or Jeffrey Simmons is still sitting on the board. Guys, you're a playoff contention team. If I'm going to get a guy like Simmons back in week 7, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to play cannibal and go yum-yum eat him up.
So Draymond Jones is a defensive tackle you've talked about a lot from Ohio State that would be there in the second, perhaps even third round, and go for an offensive lineman if you don't go with the defensive lineman in round 1.
Let's say you go for an offensive lineman in round 1. You then cover yourself by going for a defensive lineman in round 2. However, if I come up on the board and see a Jonah Williams, a Cody Ford, or Andre Dillard there, this is obviously going to solve my problem on my offensive line at that vacant right tackle spot. I got to look at protecting Manny Ice first. That's going to be my most crucial thing. I don't see a bigger need on the defensive line of the ball than on the offense, at least not right now. Remember, they signed that kid from New Orleans, Davison. They're bringing back Hageman. This is good stopgap measure over here that you could wait till round 2 or round 3 to find that defensive line. However, if some stud ends up falling in your hands, you got to go for the best available athlete at 15.
And then Titus Howard and the Falcons at 14, you meet on. Titus Howard is a small school Alabama State offensive lineman you've been talking about as a sleeper for quite some time, and the Falcons are showing interest?
You've got to wake up to this kid. You know, you look at there. Here's my thing. You look at this guy. Go back and look at Teron Armstead down at New Orleans. He's in the same mold. The greatest thing about this kid, he has no bad habits because he wasn't trained as far as the big boys do who end up ending with some bad habits out there. This guy is an open mind for some coach to sit down and develop. I don't see him getting past the Falcons unless they go for an offensive lineman in round one.
So much more to talk about regarding the Falcons and each position of the draft. Dave T., sit tight. We're just getting started here. We're going to run through players and teams showing interest in them by position. And this reminder, once again, that Dave T. and I break down players by position in great detail on our Scouts Honor podcasts, all of which are posted along with Dave T.'s exclusive player reports on our websites, Draft Hub at 929thegame.com. Up next, we're going to set the table with a mock draft, which Dave T. may shred. Keep it here on 929 The Game and 929thegame.com.
This building really shines during this time of year is the scouts, and one of the things I appreciate about Thomas and the guys is not only do they look at who would be the talent for the team, but they also consider who would be the best fit for the team and the locker room and all the things that go into that. And so I'm real proud of the fact that the coaches and the scouts have that connection.
That's Falcons head coach Dan Quinn talking about the importance of his scouts. Welcome back into the 92.9 The Game NFL Draft Preview. I'm Paul Crane. You can find me on Twitter at PaulCrane7. Of course, you can tweet us at 92.9 The Game. Or text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. We're here in the Kia Studios. And our guest for the entire two-hour draft special is my co-host on the Scouts Honor podcast and the Director of Operations of Scouting Services, Inc., and the publisher of the NFL Draft Report, Dave T. Thomas, a longtime scout for the league. You cannot find him on Twitter. We just got him off a rotary dial to have him with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Dave T., what do you think of what Coach Quinn said about the importance of the scouts?
Well, I tell you one thing, if they pan to the war room of the Oakland Raiders during a draft, it's going to sound like an echo in there.
That's right. Well, the Raiders sent all their guys home for some unexplained reason.
Well, you know, when you're acting like Humphrey Bogart from the Kane Mutiny over there and you're running marbles and your hand like Gruden is doing right now, I understand what he's trying to say. I don't want anything leaking out there to the press. But the whole thing comes down to, I keep on telling folks, till Arizona makes their pick, it doesn't matter what your board looks like.
And then it's all going to get wild from there, which brings us to our next guest, draft analyst and the founder of DraftCountdown.com, Scott Wright, who joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Scott, welcome to our 92.9 The Game NFL Draft Preview.
Paul, thanks for having me, and it's an honor to be on with Dave T., who I've known since the late 90s when I was just a young draft nick, and he was always so patient and generous with his time. So it truly is an honor, Dave T.
I'm glad we're on radio because I'm blushing right now.
Well, let's get after it. And again, Dave T. is not a mock draft guy, which is why we wanted you, Scott, to come help set the table for us with the way things you're looking at it now as they stand. And, of course, we know a lot of things are going to happen that could and probably will change this. But when we go through the first round, I'll let our listeners know I'm going to go five at a time and have you comment on why you did what you did, and we'll keep moving on, and then we'll discuss it all. So let's get right after it. And the Arizona Cardinals, as Dave T. just mentioned, until they actually send that card up with Kyler Murray's name on it, there's some question, but your top five in your latest mock draft, again at DraftCountdown.com, Arizona number one, Kyler Murray, quarterback Oklahoma. San Francisco number two, the 49ers taking Quinnen Williams, the defensive tackle from Alabama. The Jets at three, you've got Josh Allen, the talented linebacker from Kentucky. The Oakland Raiders at four, Nick Bosa, the defensive end from Ohio State. And Tampa Bay at number five, you've got Devin White, the linebacker from LSU.
And I feel pretty confident that that's the group of players. It's going to be those five guys. Maybe we shuffle around the order a little bit. Maybe the Niners taking Bosa and the Raiders getting Williams. But I feel like those are going to be the top five guys. I guess the question I have in my mind is, We expect there might be a trade. Certainly the Jets at 3, maybe the Buccaneers at 5 have been most prominently mentioned. But even if there's a trade, I feel like the team coming up is probably going to grab one of those guys. So unless it's something completely out of left field. So I guess that's the question I have in the top five is there something completely out of left field, maybe Denzel Ward going number 4 overall-ish, that we're not seeing coming?
Well, I'm looking at Ed Oliver, guys. You know, everybody's been trying to angle up to move him, get him in the top 10. But Miami's, how could I put it, panic mode in the last couple of days. Seems like they're trying to get a deal done with the Jets. That could knock at least one of your top five down to the number 6 spot. But I do agree the top 5 that he does have there are logical for those picks.
So that's the top 5. We'll run on now from 6 to 10. The Giants, there's been so much discussion about what may or may not be happening with the Giants at number 6. It started with a hard focus on a quarterback. We've heard a bunch of trade possibilities. But, again, Scott Wright's mock draft at draftcountdown.com. At 6, you've got the Giants. Montez Sweat, defensive end, Mississippi. At 7, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jawan Taylor, the offensive tackle from Florida. At 8, the Detroit Lions. T.J. Hockenson, the tight end from Iowa. 9, Buffalo Bills. Ed Oliver, defensive tackle, Houston. And at 10, Denver Broncos. Drew Locke, the quarterback from Missouri.
And I have a bunch of questions kind of in this range, really. And for a long time, I thought the Giants were going to take a defensive lineman with that first pick. The only thing that's given me a little pause now is the medical stuff with both Montez Sweat and Rashawn Gary. And if those guys are out of the mix for the Giants, who would be the alternative there? But I definitely feel like they're going to take advantage of the defensive line strength. The Jaguars at 7, that's like probably going to be the one pick that everybody has in their mock draft. Everybody's going to give them Jawan Taylor, the offensive tackle from Florida. And I just keep thinking back to that old saying, if everybody's thinking the same thing, somebody's not thinking. So could that be a surprise? Maybe they take Hockenson, who I think would be a natural fit at their greatest need. And if anybody would appreciate an old school tight end like T.J. Hockenson, I would think it would be Tom Coughlin. So I think Hockenson is going to go in that 7, 8, 9 range. But I guess I'm still trying to figure out which defensive lineman it is for the Giants. And they're probably hoping for something crazy to happen at the top, so one of those guys falls to them and makes the decision a little easier. And then the Jags, is there any chance that somebody other than Taylor, or are we just overthinking it?
Well, one thing that's concerning me is the Giants' panic mode right now, because they're looking at teams that are looking to trade up for a quarterback. They possibly could have gone for a quarterback at 17. A lot of people are saying they will likely go for one at 6. I'm hearing so much talk out of there that they might even be afraid that a team will jump ahead of them to get Daniel Jones. They could pull a deal with Tampa Bay and just move down one spot, Tampa Bay going at 6 with the Giants at 5. I don't know. I think anyone who ends up with Daniel Jones is buyer beware.
We are going to be talking about quarterbacks in the next segment, but as we continue with the latest mock draft of Scott Wright, the founder of DraftCountdown.com, who's joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's go to the next 5 that in his latest mock draft. Cincinnati at 11, Devin Bush, the linebacker from Michigan. At 12, the Green Bay Packers, Brian Burns, the defensive end from Florida State. Miami at 13, Rashawn Gary, the defensive end from Michigan, who you just mentioned. The Atlanta Falcons pick at 14, and if they stay there, Scott has them taking Andre Dillard, the talented offensive tackle from Washington State. And the Redskins pick at 15. You've got them with Dwayne Haskins, the quarterback from Ohio State.
I think there's two kind of storylines with this grouping. And I do think Denver at number 10, I think they're leaning more towards defense, one of the linebackers, I think Devin Bush. So I think this is maybe where the potential run on quarterback starts if teams don't trade up, with Cincinnati at 11, Miami at 13, Washington at 15, who I think is one of the real wild cards of this draft. I think Washington could go about 4 or 5 different directions in the first round. And then I also think this is where maybe a run on the offensive line starts. And maybe we see some jockeying for if a team's after a specific blocker. So I think that's going to be the big storylines of this group is these teams that need the quarterbacks and that the beginning of that run on the offensive line.
Well, I like Bush going to the Bengals because they definitely need linebacker help. There's been talk about them possibly going for Dwayne Haskins, but I think Zach Taylor has fallen in love with Ryan Finley so much that they're pretty confident they could find Finley in 2 as the replacement for Dalton.
Well, let's move on for the next 5 on the mock draft that's the latest on DraftCountdown.com, and that's at 16. We've got Clemson's Cleveland Farrell. Then at 17, the Giants taking Daniel Jones, the quarterback from Duke. Minnesota at 18, Jonah Williams, offensive tackle, Alabama. At 19, Tennessee Titans taking Dave T's favorite center, Garrett Bradbury from North Carolina State. And the Pittsburgh Steelers at 20 taking DeAndre Baker, the cornerback from Georgia.
Looking at this range, the first word I think of is value, especially the offensive and defensive line. I think there's going to be some really good players still on the board here. And an example of that is maybe Andre Dillard. I feel like he's a top 15 player in this draft, but if he doesn't go to, say, the Falcons at 14, is he still available for the Panthers at 16 or the Vikings at 18, which I think he'd be in a tremendous value at that point. And then is this where the Giants finally get that quarterback? Dave T hit the exact name, Daniel Jones from Duke. That's the name that makes logical sense. It's just a matter of now do they have to maneuver a little bit to move up and make sure they get their guy. And this is also the tail end of this. Is this where we see the start of the run on DBs? To this point, no DBs really off the board. Is this where we see those first corners and safeties and that run begin?
I think that Pittsburgh, though, guys, that the way that they set up their defense, while DeAndre Baker is obviously the most instinctive cornerback, I think they're going to go for physicality, because if you look at their left cornerback position over the years, it's always been the big guy, the Ike Taylor types. The guy that fits that mold right now, I think Byron Murphy will end up going before any other cornerback in this draft.
Let's move to the next five on the DraftCountdown.com mock draft as Scott Wright joins us here. At 21, the Seattle Seahawks, Jonathan Abram, the safety from Mississippi State. Georgia fans may remember him. At 22, Baltimore Ravens, Marquise Brown, the wide receiver, the diminutive wide receiver from Oklahoma. At 23, you've got the Houston Texans taking guard Cody Ford from Oklahoma. The Oakland Raiders, the second of their three first-round picks. At 24, you've got Greedy Williams, the cornerback from LSU. And at 25, the Eagles, Dexter Lawrence, the big defensive tackle from Clemson.
Well, and it starts with Seattle, who I think if Vegas were to put odds on the team most likely to trade down, they'd probably be the prohibitive favorite. It seems like everybody has them moving down. So that's definitely a wild card spot when we're trying to do mock drafts. Another question I have is the Texans, they have such a glaring need for an offensive lineman, but there might be one or two left where they're picking, but it's no sure thing. I wonder, do they get proactive and try to move up and make sure they get one of that top group? Because it does drop off a little after that top three, unless they want to maybe say reach for Greg Little, I think would be a little early for him, but I think they could justify it. The need would be so great, but maybe they just want to move up. And I've heard they really like Jonah Williams from Alabama, so that would make a lot of sense. And then the big question I have, and maybe Dave T can shed some light on this, is if, let's say, Drew Locke from Missouri, the quarterback, falls to the Raiders at 24, does Gruden pull the trigger at that point?
I think right now what we're looking at is more likely New England moving up or possibly the Rams moving up with the Seattle pick. The thing, the wild card for the Rams right now is they need a center. So if Bradbury ends up sliding down to 21, I do see them logically trying to entice Seattle to move into that slot. If not, that would be a good slot for them to go ahead and get Eric McCoy. I look at the Texans, though, as much as they need help on that offensive line, I think when you see the DeAndre Baker possibly still being on the board over there. Remember, there's no more Kareem Jackson at cornerback. There's no more Kevin Johnson at cornerback. They need to address their secondary. They also lost Honey Badger, so could they be in play over there to decide, hey, listen, I need to get myself a really good running mate for Reed?
We're going to run through the last few picks of the first round and get Scott to give us one quick comment here on our 92.9 The Game NFL Draft Preview Special. The rounding out the first round, 26, Indianapolis Colts, Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle, Clemson. 27, the third of those Oakland Raider first-round picks, Josh Jacobs, the running back from Alabama. The Los Angeles Chargers at 28, Caleb McGarry, offensive tackle from Washington. Kansas City at 29, you've got Byron Murphy, the corner from Washington. At 30, the Green Bay Packers, Noah Fant, the other tight end from Iowa. At 31, the Rams, Eric McCoy, center from Texas A&M. And rounding out the first round of your mock draft, the New England Patriots, DK Metcalf, the wide receiver from Ole Miss. Scott?
And I think this is the time of the draft where the fantasy football players can wake up. I think we see Josh Jacobs, the first running back off the board out of Alabama. And then I think we're going to see maybe the start of a run on wide receivers. Maybe Marquise Brown from Oklahoma has gone by the latter part of the first round, but all the rest could be available. And there's so many teams at the top of the second round that need pass catchers. I won't be surprised to see one or two of them trade up to the back end of round one to make sure to get they get the guy they want.
I know Dave T has said often that there are going to be a lot of wide receivers going in the second round. We'll be talking about wide receivers and much more. Our thanks to draft analyst and DraftCountdown.com founder Scott Wright. Up next, we're going to start looking at players and teams by position, and we'll begin with the quarterbacks and that one who may dictate much of the first round. This is the 92.9 The Game Draft Special here on 92.9 and 92.9thegame.com.
Me in that system or with those guys can be very dangerous. And, you know, at the same time, I don't get to choose where I go. So, you know, if that was the case, I would love to be in that situation. Love to be in New York. But at the end of the day, like I said, I don't pick myself, so.
Welcome back into the Kia Studios at 92.9 The Game. I'm Paul Crane. This, our 92.9 The Game NFL Draft Preview Special. Oren Romain doing a great job behind the glass. That was Kyler Murray talking about the Giants. Our scout and the publisher of the NFL Draft Report, my co-host on the Scouts Honor podcast, Mr. Dave T. Thomas, is joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. We're going to look at quarterbacks now, Dave T., and we'll remind our listeners that we're not going to break them down like we've done in our podcast. They're all at our Draft Hub site at 92.9thegame.com, where Dave T. and I break down every position. But Dave T., the quarterback position, we heard Kyler Murray there. You've called him the wild card. So what about the Arizona Cardinals and that on-again, is it on-again love affair with Kyler Murray and
well,
the number one pick?
Let's go back to what Kyler just said. You know, dangerous. You know, he followed Baker Mayfield. Now he's using Baker Mayfield's famous saying over here. But here's my question for everybody out there. Have you noticed one thing? That when they start breaking down these quarterbacks and they look at Dwayne Haskins, people are saying, well, I'm worried. He only had 1 year behind center. Folks, the last time I checked, Mr. Murray only had 1 year behind the center, too. He was a backup or transferring all over the place previously before that. So why is there not that concern on Murray? Because the simple reason is he's the new age quarterback that the NFL needs to embrace. And the NFL was pretty reluctant over the years. I mean, you go back, look at Jameel Holloway that came out of Oklahoma years ago. Look at Warren Moon. These guys were not accepted in the NFL because of their mobility. Everybody wanted those robots at quarterback, and you're seeing that. Let's go back and look at this draft. I say the best analogy for this draft, Paul, let's match them up to the 2011 draft class. I'm not talking about size or style or anything, but I'm talking about the success rate that they would have on the football field. You go with the first pick in the draft that year, Paul. Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. I don't think Carolina is going to put him back in the trash heap now, do you?
No.
Kyler Murray brings that element to the field, the mobility, the way that he throws the deep ball, how his feet are an added dimension, similar to like with Cam Newton. Then you go look at the eighth pick in 2011, Jake Locker. I'm looking at the same thing with Drew Locke. He's a great athlete out there, but sometimes it doesn't translate to the football field. And you look at his, how can I put it, his stretches of inaccuracy on the football field. That's a big concern of mine. He can't blame his wide receivers, though, because they did have 43 drops in the last 2 years. But still, there's that element. And also, as I discussed with you yesterday, a lot of teams right now are putting a curse word on him. They're calling him Jay Cutler. And we're not talking about on the field. We're talking about off the field. You look at Haskins. Haskins, to me, is like Blaine Gabbert, who Jacksonville took with the 10th pick in the draft. Big type of guy, but is that quarterback really conducive for what you're seeing in the NFL these days? Daniel Jones, to me, is Christian Ponder. Why anybody would want to even have a guy that is nothing but a robot out there on the football field? Hell, have you ever heard this kid talk, Paul? His voice sounds like a robot designed to put other robots to sleep. This is not a guy I want in my huddle trying to get me all sparked up and get me going again.
Oh, warning, Will Robinson.
And then I go with Ryan Finley. I liken him to Andy Dalton, the guy who I say he's going to end up replacing as a second-round draft pick in Cincinnati. Colin Kaepernick, if you're looking for that pure athlete that could do everything, come up on day three. You'll take Easton Stick. Ryan Mallett, who went in the third round to the New England Patriots. I look at Tyree Jackson. Actually, I should probably compare Tyree Jackson more to Logan Thomas, because I think that Tyree Jackson's only future in the NFL, Paul, is to move to tight end. Great arm, probably the best arm in his draft, but oh my God, if I blew in his left ear and I didn't have an earplug in his right ear, we would start a tsunami on the other side.
Well, I'd love to see them in a one-on-one pickup game of basketball, maybe, but in the few seconds we have left to talk quarterbacks, who's the most likely to slide and how far?
I would say Haskins. I would still say around mid-round, because you're looking at Washington, and if Miami doesn't trade, they might reluctantly go for him. The quarterback that I think is probably going to bring the best value outside of Kyler Murray, Ryan Finley.
Don't go away. We're trying to squeeze 10 pounds into a 5-pound bag. When we come back, we're going to move to another position, wide receivers and tight ends, and there are several players from Georgia there. This is the 92.9 The Game Draft Special here on 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Welcome back to the 92.9 The Game NFL Draft Preview Special. I'm Paul Crane, pleased to be joined by the publisher of the NFL Draft Report and my co-host on the Scouts Honor podcast. Again, our lengthy, in-depth position breakdowns are all at our Draft Hub website at 92.9thegame.com. Dave T. Thomas. And Dave T., let's take a look at wide receivers and tight ends and some of the teams that are interested. And right now, even though there are some wide receivers who we may look back at as first-round talent, you're thinking only one is going to actually hear his name called in the first round.
Yeah, it's going to be a guy from Hollywood who's going to end up going to Baltimore. I think that Eric DaCosta, the new general manager, realizes he needs some weapons for Lamar Jackson. The best thing he could do out there is get a big play wide receiver. Yes, he's on a smallish venue, but look at what they did a couple of years ago when they went for Breshad Perriman. I think this is probably the biggest, how could I put it, bad mark on DK Metcalf is the performance of Perriman before. A lot of people are looking at Metcalf as being another Perriman type.
So you think Marquise Brown of Oklahoma is going to hear his name called in the first round, but DK Metcalf may have to wait.
It will either be Baltimore or Philadelphia. Look at both of those teams. If anyone needs a wide receiver and will be willing to use a day one pick, it will be those two teams. I'm still looking at Josh Jacobs as filling in the other role with Philadelphia if they don't go for a wide receiver. But right now, logic tells me number 22 with Baltimore will probably be the place Marquise ends up.
All right. Well, we've got DK Metcalf from Ole Miss, A.J. Brown from Ole Miss. You've got N'Keal Harry from Arizona State that's gotten a lot of attention. And, of course, there are a couple of Georgia kids, Mecole Hardman and Riley Ridley.
Well, I hope Mecole Hardman's listening to this on the other end, because I pretty much could assure him right now that Patrick Mahomes will be throwing passes to him. A lot of people are saying round three, round four. Brother man, go out and get your jewelry done right now, and it should say number 63 on it. If you are, how can I put it? If Cinderella wants to hand him the glass slipper, she could go ahead and do it. It's a perfect fit for them. They need another weapon there. They lost Conley to a free agency. You turn around and look at the issues that they're having on Tyreek Hill right now. Hell, to me, Hardman's just nothing more than Hill 2.0 anyway. I see in Hardman making such a move up on draft day. He's one of my favorite guys on the board, Paul. But round two, we come up, we'll probably have at least seven teams taking a wide receiver in round two. Arizona, Indianapolis, San Francisco, the Giants, Cincinnati, New Orleans, or Kansas City. Now, San Fran possibly could do a pick number 32. From what I'm hearing right now, they've offered a 2 and a 3 to the New England Patriots to switch. So the Patriots only have to move down a couple of spots into round two and still pick up a third rounder along the way. The big thing with San Francisco, San Fran wants A.J. Brown. They're afraid that before they come up on the board, the Cardinals might end up taking him.
Well, that's a lot there for the second round from the start to the end.
Well, you've got to look at Debo Samuel. If New England doesn't trade up to get a tight end, Samuel is sitting there, and he's number one on their board right now. N'Keal Harry, this is another guy that's going to end up going in round two of this draft. Metcalf will likely go in two. Hakeem Butler is drawing a lot of round two interest. A.J. Seager-Whiteside, the kid that's sitting out with Stanford, the big basketball player, he's another perfect target for a team that's looking for a possession type wide receiver. Still, I look at Paris Campbell with his yak ability. I look at Mecole Hardman. They're my two best bets in round two.
Some others, Riley Ridley, we mentioned. Who's paying most attention to him before we move to tight ends?
Not much. I think what it's come down to, when you go back in there and you look at film on him and you look at film on Hardman, you love what you're seeing on Hardman. It's sort of the same situation that went down with Metcalf. Everybody loved Metcalf coming out of Indianapolis. Everybody went down to school before Pro Day and says, wow, look at AJ, man, now that's a ball player.
Tight ends, you mentioned that there could be two taken in the first round from the same school. That'd be T.J. Hockenson and Noah Font from the University of Iowa.
I know. Honestly, Paul, I only see two tight ends going in the first round of the draft. Yeah, everybody's saying that Irv Smith likely will end up going to New England at the end, but if New England ends up pulling that trade with San Francisco, they're sitting there then with San Francisco's pick at 36, and Smith will end up going there. Hockenson is probably the most coveted of all offensive players in this draft, not named Kyler Murray. I got teams, I got Oakland trying to consider moving up with 24 and 27 for him. New England is passionately trying to get the deal done with Detroit. Tennessee loves both him and Font, and you look at Green Bay. I don't see him, if he gets past Jacksonville, if he gets past Detroit, Buffalo, and Denver, he's going to end up being up there with the Cheeseheads.
I know in the SEC, we've got Isaac Nauta from the University of Georgia, Dawson Knox from Ole Miss, Jay Sternberger from Texas A&M. You mentioned Irv Smith from Alabama, but I want to give you a chance to mention, I know a guy that you like a lot, Foster Moreau from LSU.
Love Foster. I think that he's probably an ideal fit for either the Dallas Cowboys or even ended up down at New Orleans. I look up in New England. I look at the way the Georgia kid blocks. This kid's a perfect day three type of guy that Bill wants. And understand one thing. Bill likes blue-collar guys, not blue-chip guys. This guy is a blue-chip prospect that plays like a blue-collar guy. Dawson Knox, I see him, if Dallas is smart, especially since they don't have a first-round draft pick, coming up in round two and taking a tight end like Dawson Knox. Everybody says, well, you know, he only had 19 receptions. Well, when you have Lodge and A.J. Brown and Metcalf over there catching the balls, you know, the attention of the tight end might get from the quarterback is, hey, you're my number four.
Glenn, Dave T., I can't believe the first hour is in the books. Don't go away. When we come back, we're going to head into the trenches, the offensive and defensive lines, deep and talented in this draft, and where Dave T. believes the Falcons will go first. This is the 92.9 The Game Draft Special here on 92.9 and 92.9thegame.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.